listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Wednesday. What a big day. Full house in studio with us, and we're on 200 Fox Sports Radio stations, coast to coast, 6 Eastern, 3 here in Vegas. Wednesdays, you could say, well, this is the one day kind of slower. Oh, no. Got the big trade, Ramsey. And I think we got a unique take on that one. But also, Colin Cowherd came out with his 8 teams he thinks can win the Super Bowl. He left one key team off. Speaking of that full house, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You cannot have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on Straight Out of Vegas in the NFL with a trade that went down last night as the Jacksonville Jaguars send all-pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the Rams in exchange for 2 first-round picks and a fourth-rounder in 2021. Jalen Ramsey gets his wish out of Jacksonville, now an L.A. Ram.
Yeah, and really, if you think about it, the facts are easy. What they mean, I think, is interesting. Jonas, with the facts, first rounder next year, first rounder the year after, and that year after also has a 4. Okay, it's easy enough. Number one's going like this, unusual, but we saw it with Tunzel. It seems like there's been a reevaluation of draft choices, not worth as much, it seems, some teams believe. Obviously, the Rams expect to be a better than average team during these years. Thus, the draft choices would be, in theory, in the 20s. I think that's fair. Now, Ramsey, how good is he? Fez, NFL expert, how would you assess it?
Half a point, RJ.
So worth half a point. So how many cornerbacks? I mean, that's going to be amongst the best cornerbacks in the league.
Yeah, going into the year, Pro Football Focus had Ramsey ranked the number 2 cornerback. However, he's only played 3 games, and these cornerback ratings oftentimes vary greatly from year to year.
Yeah, but it strikes me here's a guy that is just renowned. Pro Football Focus is one of those examples, I think, where in most cases you can think they're generally right, and then I think in some cases they're going to be way wrong. I mean, when they say that Mahomes was like the 7th best quarterback, you know, I'd like to bet against that person. So, but in a weird way, when you have an algorithm, when you have math that's trying to explain the world, you're going to get outliers. In general, Pro Football Focus, good. And I think Ramsey, you could make the case, best cornerback in football. I don't even think it's a debate. He's one of the best. Let's just leave it at that. Now, I do think there's a little bit of specifics here that's meaningful. Wade Phillips, DC for the Rams, he likes to play man coverage. Peters just was not a man coverage guy. Ramsey loves it. It's what he wants to do. The old Deion Sanders, let me shut their best guy down.
Don't tell me about that cover two. Just tell me what number of the guy I got it shut down.
You know, he's saying that as if he's referencing something, but
that was a Deion Sanders quote.
That was the exact quote?
Yes.
Wow, that's pulling out the quotes. I'm surprised and a little impressed. So if it allows the Rams to get back to the man-to-man that they like to play, and by the way, if you look at the percentage of man-to-man they played 2 years ago, or 17, to now, this year it's down 35%. So because of the personnel, they haven't been able to play the D style scheme that Wade Phillips would like to. Another advantage. Okay. Fez, I bet if I just asked you, you would say, yeah, good player, but, oh, that draft, his draft choices are valuable. Feels a little expensive.
felt very expensive to me.
So very.
Yeah, the second number one, and then on top of it, a four. I would not have expected this big of a haul.
Okay. So the question has to be, how valuable are draft choices? And that's changed. The reality was that right now, or in the past it wasn't the case, now is they're bargains. Draft choices are bargains. And the theory is that the rookie wage scale is what's driving this. And it's a situation where if you just look at, let's say, compared to the past, you know, there was the Bradford contract, right? That's the famous, oh my God, this guy has never played a snap, $60 million or whatever, guaranteed. These days, they get good money, but man, it's not anything like it used to be. The key to building a winning team in the modern NFL, draft choices. Now, let's think about why that is, the salary cap. Now, what does it mean? We hear that phrase a bunch. I think in the simplest sense, the salary cap means there's a set amount of money that everyone is spending, that they have. So if you do fantasy, sometimes they have a salary cap league where you have this much money to spend on all your players. I think very simply that's the way to think about this. So another way is, let's say you had a game show that was about buying cars, right? We've all bought, most of us have bought a car. And let's say that you had $2 million you were given, Fez, and you had to buy 100 cars. And at the end, so on average, it would have been about $20,000 a car, right? At the end, the winner was the person or the team that those 100 cars, when they would get priced, appraised, were worth the most. So imagine you went and you're like in the backwoods of Iowa or something trying to take the, oh, could you imagine he'd probably dress, put hay in his teeth, try to act like he's one of them, you know, and just, I mean, just take them left and right, get like vintage cars at a discount. I mean, he's smiling like, oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Pretend like I'm going to finance it and then pay in cash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see, he's got it all figured out. Now, imagine you're getting great deals. Then at the end, they're tallying up your cars, and it's like, oh, look how good this Fezzik guy did, right? Okay, well, that's what Belichick's doing, not so much with the straw in his teeth. He's going around saying, that player, I think he's worth $6 million a year. I can get him for $5 million. And if you aggregate all of those good buys, ultimately, you win. You might not win a given year, but you're going to be better than the opposition because you are buying better players. And I says, well, you're buying players? Well, yeah, effectively, whatever the terminology, you're buying their services at a discount. Okay. So really what that's saying is that it's not about getting good players. It's about getting good players at the right price. And again, let's harken back to Belichick. How often does he ever sign a major free agent? In fact, who are the major free agents he signed? Now, Randy Moss. Oh, well, wait a minute. He wasn't at the time that kind of player. He'll get those cars that are refurbished. Right? He'll take a chance on the refurbished car. Otherwise, even his own homegrown, like the Steelers, they don't often go outside for guys, but they will pay their guys inside most of the time. Patriots don't. No, they develop a left tackle. Yeah. They make him world class. All right, Giants, you want to overpay him? Go for it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll develop the next one. So, to me, Belichick is figuring I have a finite amount of money, and every time I buy something for $5 million that's worth $6 million, I'm up $1 million, and whoever's up is going to win the most games. Okay, so it again. Very simply, not getting good players. Who's the best player in football right now? Who would you like to have on your team, Brad?
Patrick Mahomes.
All right. When Mahomes' contract was up, if I owned a team and I said, I'm going to give you $60 million a year, you think he'll come?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. If he pauses, 70. Make it 70.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just got the best player in football. Yeah. Did that do well?
Yeah, I think so.
Did I do well?
Oh.
When I pay, how much is Mahomes worth?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. I don't think he's worth that much.
Then I didn't do well. Yeah. But I have the best player in football.
Yeah.
It's not just about the best player in football or the best. Well, it is about the best team. The only way to get the best team, if you have a finite amount of money, is get value as with as many purchases as possible. Why do people complain about Tom Brady? saying, oh, he's taking a discount, makes the Patriots. Well, they're right. This is artificially saying, I'll take less so we got more to spend other places because I got enough. All right?
Yep.
Wow, that's powerful. But is that effectively what you're doing by getting players for less? If it's by their choice, if it's by your ability to assess their value better, and then the teams that overpay, they make a couple flash free agency signings. Usually, oh my God, boy, he went to Miami. Oh wow, that's awesome, right? Sue, well, how'd that turn out? They overpaid, so they had less money to spend elsewhere. Okay. So what does it mean to the Ramsey deal? I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Let's look how good these rookie deals are. So Ramsey is in his fourth season. He averaged about $6 million per year during the entire time. Now, this year alone, his salary is only $2.3 million. You might say, well, it's $6 million a year. Yeah, because there was a signing bonus. So the beauty is the signing bonus was already paid by Jacksonville and all that. What's left is the 2.3. Sounds like a great deal, right? Except next year's that fifth year option, right? Now you might say, well, that's unfair to the players. Well, in a ways it is, but in another way, it's not cheap. So next year, if they, and they will do the option, Ramsey, $13.7 million. Okay, that's supposed to be the cost control time. And oh, by the way, the highest paid cornerback makes 15. So he'll be within, just by signing the fifth-year option, if the team provides it, he'll be the third highest paid cornerback. But forget that, because he wants a contract. So now what he's going to want is be the highest paid. Let's just call it 16 or 17. That's the estimates I'm seeing. So now they're paying 17 for him, where the first 4 years, they were paying on average six. So the question doesn't become, the question is, it will those two draft choices that Jacksonville got in the fourth, let's set aside for a second, because that's kind of a lottery ticket. The two number ones, would they be better than Ramsey, either of them? Probably not. I'd make a major bet no. Could be. Probably not. But that's not the question. It's the wrong question. It's a loser's question. Here's the winning question. Are they within those players? Let's call it $10 million of Ramsey. If Ramsey's 17 a year, and they're seven, let's say, each of the number ones. Are they within $10 million worth of value? Because if they are, then Jacksonville wins. Why? Because you know what they can do with that $10 million? Go buy other players. It's that finite amount of money, like a family budget, right? So to me, it really, just to wrap this up, shows you how pessimistic I am about the Rams midterm. I'm not saying this year, not even saying next year. I think they're still viable. I think then, not. And if we had a bet fest, like 7 year, number of wins, I would have the Rams below average. Meaning, I think the Rams win less than half of their games over the next 7 years.
Because they were compromised even before this deal, right?
Well, it's interesting you say that. Because let's just think about what got people so excited about this Rams team. And let's go back to the summer of 18. Not that long ago, right? What, 15 months ago, right? At the time, they hadn't signed Donald. Now they have, okay? How much guaranteed? 87 sticks, wow. 87 million. Now listen, is he overpaid? I don't think so. Is he underpaid? I don't think so. I think they paid market. And you can pay market sometimes. That's the thing. You don't have to get a deal on every deal to get net-net a win as a team across the whole group of players. Maybe they paid a fair market, and let's accept it, okay? Todd Gurley, $45 million guaranteed. Mm. Now, I think we all know with his injury, that's a question. Now, what's ironic about Gurley, he's still under his original contract. Not even, forget the option year. This is year four. This is year five, I guess. Sorry about that. This would have been the option year, but not the tag year. This is year five. Okay, but still, it's an option. They could have had him easily. It wasn't like a tag, which is the player gets mad at it or whatever. No, it was an option. Okay. Also, though, we forget this. Brandon Cooks, $49 million. Guaranteed. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't Cooks on the Patriots?
Yep.
Didn't they win a Super Bowl with him?
Yeah. Had a cup of coffee with him.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, what I'm saying is why didn't they sign him? Because the market was too expensive. Mm-hmm. Rams said, come on, baby. Water's warm. And Jared Goff, $110 million.
Wow.
Guaranteed. It's only $134 million contract. His agent was smart. Hey, you guys are going to figure this out before long. We better get all the money we can now. So literally 15 months ago, none of these guys were under contract. And you could make the case that Gurley and Goff are two of the worst contracts in football right now. They could prove me wrong. And now you're adding to the mix here a cornerback who may be the best. Ramsey may be the best corner. Are they going to get him below market? They are going to pay him the most of any corner. Is he the best? Okay. Now, will he be the best in 5 years? I don't know about that. But they're going to pay him all that time. So to me, what it shows you is when a team has underpaid assets is when they excel. And what were the Rams 15 months ago? A team with draft choices. Oh, by the way, Goff, okay, Donald, and they were all underpaid. And then they said, okay, well, we're going to pay you fair. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But now we're going to bring in other people's draft choices to overpay them, or let's say even pay them market. But oh, by the way, if you pay your own guys, at least you're not giving up any assets, as in draft choices, to get them in the door. But now you're giving up the next two number ones to come in and overpay it, or pay a guy. I keep thinking it's overpaid. It may be. But let's be optimistic and say, oh, no, actually, we're not going to overpay. We're going to just pay market. Okay, you're still paying the most of any cornerback. And those two draft choices, they represent 8 years of cheap labor, where even if one of the two hits, you've got a guy for $3 million, $4 million, $5 million, based on what year it is, that could be as good as a Donald, as good even as a Goff. Because Goff's not a bad quarterback. He's just not one of the best quarterbacks, as good as a Gurley. It's almost like the Rams said, we're going to take everything we did to get in this position and throw it out the window.
Yep.
And to me, I'm not saying they're not smart. I'm not saying there's not other factors that I don't understand. But boy, on the surface, in an era of the NFL, we're having cheap labor, cheap talent is key. And the only way to get cheap talent is draft choices. If you trade away your number ones, what's going to happen when a whole team can't be paid at a premium because there's a finite amount of money. So my grade is Rams this year, it certainly improved their chances to win the Super Bowl. No doubt about it. I think it shows that they kind of felt like it was hopeless after this and next year anyway. So they're just going all in, hoping to get one. So paradoxically, if you're rooting for him now, if you're betting him now, this trade is cause for optimism. But if you have a Vince Ferragamo jersey on as an old school Rams fan, probably not so good. No one knew who Vince Ferragamo was. When we come back, Colin Cowherd had his 8 teams that could make the Super Bowl. He missed one of them, and I told him about it.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we have a team missing from a Super Bowl contenders list.
Yes, Colin Cowherd, wrong. Good day to join. We are on 200 Fox Sports Radio stations across the country, nationwide, coast to coast. Also, foxsportsradio.com, iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM, and on-demand podcast. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now in Las Vegas on the Strip, 86 degrees. The neon is coursing.
So, RJ, Colin Cowherd earlier today on Fox Sports Radio talked about the 8 teams that he sees as being Super Bowl contenders, although you found one that was not on the list.
Well, yeah, you know, listen, I love Colin. I really do.
This is where I go. I go to Vegas via the Cowherd Global Satellite Network, RJ Bell. Pregame.com.
Now, we don't need his satellite network. We have Fox Sports Radio. So know that this is all with love. But he missed a team here big time. So, Fez, we'll go through the teams, and I just want an impression. Like, if I was saying, if a little kid said, Fezzy, should I bet on, you know, you'll say, kid, how old are, what's the legal jurisdiction in your area? But after you got through all that, what would you say? So, first up, New England, favorite right now. Favorite plus 270, so less than 3-1.
Clear-cut favorite. I've got them 3.5 points better than the number two team right now in the NFL.
Okay, so you're going to just read your power rating on all these teams, you think? So the question is the offense, right? The defense is world-class. At minimum, one of the five best in football. I think the best. I think they're maybe even, you know, multiple years the best. The question is strength of schedule of the offenses they've played. That's the big question there, but I still think they're good. The other question is Brady. The offense, injuries on the line. How concerned are you about the injury?
I am concerned about it, especially on the O-line. It's almost been a metamorphosis that New England's kind of becoming like that Peyton Manning Denver team in some ways. Now, I know Brady's better than Peyton Manning, but this defense is carrying.
You're saying Peyton Manning's last year.
Yes.
Well, we don't know. Peyton Manning was okay earlier in that year, too. You hit a wall at some point. You know about that. Kansas City, they're next. 9-1. I agree. They're certainly right there on the list. In fact, second or right behind the Saints. So third best odds, Kansas City's on Colin Cowherd's list. Now they've lost two in a row. Two in a row is home favorites. Everyone that knows anything is saying you got to run the ball. You got to play complementary football. What does that mean? Your defense is going to get too tired if all you do is score touchdowns or get three and outs, and thus over the course of a game, you're going to suffer. And if you look in the second halves, they've been even against the Ravens. Ravens came back in the second half. How concerned are you about specifically their inability to run the ball?
I'm concerned about it, but let's face it. It is a passing league, and if Mahomes ankle heals up, I think that Kansas City can just outscore teams and get to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so that's interesting. So what you're saying is, isn't it a coincidence that we're only addressing this after Mahomes hurt himself and he went from the best quarterback in football to something less? Now that he's something less, all of a sudden these problems emerge. But if he weren't something less, if he was what he was, which he will be soon enough, a lot of tenses there, they're going to be fine, just like they've been.
Exactly right. They've gone from winning games 35-30 to losing games 30-26.
Okay. So right now, if you just had free, if I said I'm going to give you two teams and you pick the two, and if you're right, I'm going to give you $1 million, you're taking the Patriots and who?
Kansas City.
Wow. Wow. That would surprise some people. Next up, Houston on Colin Cowherd's list of teams of eight that can win the Super Bowl, and he forgot one. Houston, I got to be candid. I'm a big Houston skeptic. They're 20-1. I think they have that upside. But we do Houston radio. There's nothing but belly aching about the organization, about the coach. They know football. I think that this is one of those teams that are just going to break your heart, that they're going to have these great games. But it wasn't that long ago. They were 4-point favorites. So before they started this winning streak, I just remember we lost. They were 4-point favorites again. Was it Carolina?
Carolina. Lost 16-10.
Yeah. I mean, It's like, is that I know Carolina's been winning some games. What's your thoughts on Houston?
Houston has an Achilles heel. They cannot block against good pass rushes.
That seems like an important thing.
Well, yeah. So you face an elite defense and you can beat Houston because Watson doesn't have enough time and he has slow developing pass plays.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So you're saying it's one thing to have a below average O-line and it's good to have a mobile quarterback when you do. Agreed. But you better have quicker throws.
Yes.
And they don't.
Correct.
So then when they do so well, is that a sign the other team doesn't have a good D-line? Is that really the main handicap in any Houston game?
It has been. When they play a team like Atlanta, they can't rush the quarterback. They put up 50s, and they're unstoppable.
So why is it that this is – Brad, you are here for almost every show. Have you heard him say that before?
No, I have not.
So there's a way to, like, handicap – because we've been losing on Houston for years, it seems like. Very good, Fez. I mean, it's a little late, but good. Next up, Green Bay on Colin Cowherd's list. I'm a skeptic on Green Bay. The line this week Did you see the line this week?
Yeah, laying only 5 against the Raiders now.
What would you have guessed that line was?
7.
I mean, so now it's 2 weeks in a row. We've talked about it at length. 2 weeks in a row that Green Bay seemed really short. They were 3.5 against Detroit. Didn't cover at home in that game. And now only 5? I think I would have guessed maybe more than 7.
And by pure mathematic number, made it 8.5 on my power ratings.
So your power ratings made it 8.5?
Yes.
So at some point, now there's such a great lesson in this. Because last week we spent a good bit of time saying we don't understand why Green Bay isn't a bigger favorite. I thought it was love of Detroit from the syndicates. I think what we're seeing is it's skepticism of Green Bay because it's the second week. Now, Detroit's line, does it seem right or does it seem like the market loves Detroit?
It seems right that Detroit's hosting Minnesota, who has been awful on the road, and the line's right around pick 'em.
And that's what you would have guessed.
Yeah.
So we now have identified it wasn't love of the Lions last week. It was a pessimism about Green Bay.
Yes, the market dislikes Green Bay big time compared to my ratings.
But somehow they're 12-1 in the futures, which shows you different people bet futures. Freddie Fanny Pack, Barney at the bar, as opposed to the games themselves, at least the money that matters in the games themselves. Are you a skeptic on Green Bay?
Yes.
No. Be honest. You, the Smith brothers. I like them. I can remember their names. They had a sack and 1 forced fumble, I think. I don't know how the ref scored. I mean, come on. Well, be honest. You love the Packers.
Well, yes.
So why are you lying to us?
Because
that's it. No more lying. Go ahead.
This is their 5th home game in the last 6 games. And so at some point, what do we know about the Packers when they go on the road? Typically, Aaron Rodgers can only win half his games.
But you didn't know that entering the season?
No, the schedule was printed out.
So then what's the revelation now? Admit it. You were high on the Packers until you saw the market isn't, and you said, I want closing line value, so I cannot like the Packers.
Well, and I'm staring at my losing Packer tickets from last week and leaving a bad taste in my mouth.
Brad, can you recollect who was anti-Packer from day one? Skeptical of the defense?
RJ Bell.
That's right. Hey, listen, I didn't say it. Brad did. I mean, I will do this, but, you know, who knows who did that?
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have a best bet as we look ahead and take an early preview of an NFL game this weekend. Want to let you know we are brought to you by Hooters. Coming to Hooters every Monday, all season to play Monday Night Moneyball. You're just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes, freebies, and a trip to the season ender in Miami. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyBall.com. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Jonas is like the adult in the room. It's like, we got 4 reads to do by the end of the hour. I'm throwing one in no matter what. And I'm like the kid. At the end, it'd be all reads or something. I guess you need an adult and you need a kid. What I'm thinking, though, is I listen to the words people use because they tell you a lot. It's not just the general gist of it. Is the news, he said, Osweiler broke the news to channel XXX whatever in... It's like broke, like it was bad news or something. I mean, could you see the minute it came out? Like people's cheering across the country, talking about all the money. I mean, think about all the people that don't like Osweiler from all the lost tickets, where if you bet on them versus, if your team had spent millions on them, not a lot of love there. How funny would it be if we found out he changed his name? Like, you know, like we haven't heard from that guy for a while and you find out, he's living in Arizona under an assumed name. I mean, I'm not saying it's that bad, but, you know, Fez called him the ostrich. And then I think it was Mike Lombardi used to call him the heist. Now, that's a good name, the heist. All right, we got our list. So far, this is Colin Coward's 8 teams. New England, Kansas City, Houston, Green Bay, they can win it. Picking up the pace here, Fez, Seattle. I took a stand on Seattle. Everyone, I got more feedback this week on Twitter at RJ in Vegas has said, hey, RJ, you said Seattle's no good. Look at their record. And it's like, I'm going to stand by it. I don't think Seattle's that good. I think it's impossible that they win the Super Bowl. And I'm going to challenge you, Fez. Let me pick any team not in Collins A, and you take Seattle. We'll do a $500 bet. And if I win, you pay me. You win, I pay you. If neither of them wins, which is most likely, no action.
I have to exclude one team.
No. Oh, the team I told you before, the segment that I like?
No,
so you don't like Seattle either.
No, it's Russell Wilson has just been tremendous, but he's single-handedly. How clutch can one guy be to keep winning close game after close game?
Well, in history, no one's clutch, right, really, in the end. You could say there's certain skills that are more valuable at the end of games. And Russell has those, which is mobility in a quarterback. He can run in high-leverage situations when the stakes are high. It's end of games, end of halves, playoffs. Very valuable. Seattle's not very good. I'm going to stick by it. I'm betting against them this week. We'll talk about it. Saints. Now, at some point, Bridgewater, we got to give it to him. The trend line's been good, Fez. So let's just talk. We know the defense is really good. We know Drew Brees will be somewhat better than Bridgewater. Saints, where are they at? So you got them third behind KC in New England?
Right now, with Bridgewater, I have the Saints 13.
Well, that's fine, but what I'm saying is how much do you upgrade for Brees?
Upgrade 5 points for Brees and become number
two. That's too much. So how much adjustment have you made? What was the upgrade from Bridgewater to Brees 4 weeks ago?
Six.
So with all that Bridgewater's done, you've given him a point.
Yeah, he's had one really good game.
No. Oh, but what did he do last week?
Yeah, workmanlike.
Yeah, well, how many players are workmanlike like that, right? He's one of the 22, 23 best, right?
Yeah, I've got him right at 24.
Okay, so you're saying Drew Brees, when he's healthy, is what on your list of quarterbacks?
Oh, he's top three.
Oh, come on. You mean back in 19 or back in 2010? Right now, you got him top three.
I do.
So it's Mahomes, Wilson.
Brees.
Can you believe that, Brad?
Mm-mm.
You're forgetting how good he was until the end of November when he got. When
so
we
you're
think
saying
he got injured.
You're saying who thinks he got injured? Who's we? Who's this collective we?
Well, he fell off completely at the end of November. The question is it age or was there an injury?
Well, let me guess. How old is he?
He's 40.
Yeah, age. I mean, he's probably the second quarterback ever since George Blanda or something to play at any kind of level at 40, right? Like, who else plays at any? I mean, Manning dropped off before that.
Other than Brady, no one.
It's so funny, we. When he does something good, it's like me. But when it's something, we, like there's some club, they're all smoking cigars. All right, when we come back, we're going to have the best bet from Fezzik, his early line mover. And this baby has done well over time. Last week, he had Green Bay, and he's mad at Green Bay. Look out, Green Bay. And we'll finish the list and tell you who Colin missed.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We now continue on with the list. Colin Cowherd earlier today on Fox Sports Radio had his eight teams he thinks can win a Super Bowl. And RJ, you, the voice of Vegas, think he's missing one.
Yes, I do. We'll come up with that one. I'm going to read the team so far, Jonas. Tell me your main thought on any of these teams. So on Colin's list, so the one like, wow, I got to get this out. New England, Kansas City, Houston, Green Bay, Seattle, New Orleans. Six so far. Main thought.
On the Packers, I think the issue is the offense, and I can't count. I mean, how many times have we seen Aaron Rodgers this year being shown on the sideline, and he's frustrated because it didn't go the way that he thought it was going to go? And at some point...
Well, that's been the last 10 years, isn't it?
Right. Well, but at some point... I mean, we're into week six, and I know it's, well, he's still learning the new offense. He's still trying to get a rhythm on it. At what point do we think maybe this is just what the offense is going to be?
And maybe Aaron Rodgers, quite frankly, if you aggregate every play, yards per attempt is an average quarterback, and he has been for like 4 years. And he has those plays. He has those plays you look at and say, that's the guy I remember. He still does. But you add them all up, they're a minority. And that's another reason I don't like Green Bay when Fez loved him, the Smiths. And then you had that safety, you knew his name.
Amos.
Oh, when he learns it, when Steve Fezzik learns the name of a safety, you're going to hear that name.
Yes, you are.
Many times. It'll be like, what do you think of the offense of that team? Well, first I got to say almost, and then I'm going to say. Woo. All right, next team, Philadelphia. A lot of people are skeptical. I think healthy, Philly might be, they could be the fourth best team in football. Healthy. They're not healthy. So remember, we're talking about chance to win a Super Bowl, but you got to make the playoffs if you're going to win the Super Bowl. Fez, thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Let's face it. All of the Philly wide receivers have been hurt. The secondary has been decimated. This team has a really high ceiling. The reason they're 3-3 is all those injuries.
The question is, at some point, you do got to make the playoffs. What is the path? Let's do this for tomorrow's show or Friday. Oh, it's a big Philly-Dallas. So on Friday, Fez, let's do this. I want you to tell me the path to Philly getting to be competent, or let's say as good as they could be, but not the max. Obviously, if everyone got healthy, right? I'm saying, is it just Roby? Oh, a cornerback. Is it just him, right? Or is it what to get where we can say this is a fair approximation of Philadelphia? Because at some point, we got to quit making excuses. The only real impressive win they had was in Green Bay. If we're going to reevaluate Green Bay, now you got to reevaluate Philly.
Yep.
All right? So I don't know. And remember, they lost to Atlanta. You know, I'm actually talking myself off Philly right now. All right. Eighth team on Colin's list. I can't lie. I was way ahead of the curve. San Francisco.
Yes, you were.
Oh, my gosh. Fez was way behind. Thoughts?
What's amazing is that San Francisco is doing all this, and they're currently my number two team, and Jimmy G, who I love, has just been a very, I won't say mediocre, but just a slightly above average quarterback.
Now, would you say that you maybe, like a lot of people you love, you have too high expectations?
Well, I expect him to perform.
I love Jimmy G.
And then you get very angry?
Yeah.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. Okay. You know what's funny? I text him and I said, where do you got San Francisco? This was a couple days ago. He goes, number two. I go, come on. Because remember, how long ago was it, Jonas? You might remember this, that we were having the conversation about the best teams in the NFC. And we went through like six teams and San Francisco wasn't on his list. But somehow they're number two now.
Yep. Funny how that works.
You know something? No, it's not funny. I mean, listen, I don't like to cast aspersions. Everyone knows that. But I mean, Fez, it's like you saw, I saw him win on Monday. I saw him win the next Sunday. They're good.
Well, that win against the Rams was ultra impressive in a horrible spot with their team injured.
Who did you like in that game?
Yeah, I had the Rams.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for bringing up all my losers.
I like the Rams, too.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, at what point are you going to really stop going against me?
Good point.
When has you ever done well doing that?
Never.
Uh-huh. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you the team that Colin forgot, and then tomorrow we'll really break down why. The Minnesota Vikings can win the Super Bowl. The Minnesota Vikings can win the Super Bowl, not on Colin's eight.
We've got a best bet coming up here in a moment. Want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone knows there are all different kinds of jobs out there. If you've got a today job, select free same door store pickup. If you'd rather take care of the job tomorrow, you can order as late as 10 p.m. with free next day delivery on AutoZone.com. Get in the zone, AutoZone. All right, it is time for Steve Fezzik's traditional early line mover best bet in the NFL.
Did we get through all the reads, Jonas?
Not really.
Okay, so we could maybe sponsor this best bet from somebody.
We absolutely could. And if we wanted to sponsor this best bet, who other than AutoZone? Because they know there are all different kinds of jobs out there. If you've got a today job, select free same-day store pickup. If you'd rather take care of the job tomorrow, you can order as late as 10 p.m. with free next-day delivery on AutoZone.com. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
See, I was meaning we'd call it the AutoZone best bet, not do the whole read.
Well,
all right, Fez, you only got 40 seconds. Go.
All right, I like the Chicago Bears -3. You're going to have to lay -$1.20 against the Saints. And RJ, it's not because I think the Bears are that much better than the Saints. I only have the Bears a little bit better. It's about situation. What happened to the Bears? They went to London. They played the Raiders. They were a big favorite. And they lose outright.
Focused off the bye.
Contrast that with the Saints. Here's a team that's won four straight games with Teddy Bridgewater. Can exhale a little bit. I think it's a bad spot for the Saints. I know it is. I bet the Bears.
Now, that is a heck of a handicap. You think the line moves. I just am so gun shy with Bridgewater. This could be called Fez's I'm stubborn and don't forget it. Best bet of the week.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!